29. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, October 24, 1771, 10 a.m. Congress is jubilant. An exhausted and feverish Lieutenant Colonel Tench Tileman stands at the front of their meeting room, reading aloud General Washington's report from Yorktown. As ordered, Tileman has traveled 300 miles nonstop to Philadelphia. He is Washington's longest-serving aide and has been entrusted by the general with ensuring that Congress quickly receive word of Cornwallis's surrender. Lieutenant Colonel Tileman has succeeded. The officer who once marveled of Washington that the weight of the whole war may justly be said to lay upon his shoulders now shares the joyous news that that burden has been lifted. Tileman galloped into Philadelphia shortly after midnight. He was nearly arrested, but upon sharing his good news with the city's watchmen, the word was shouted on street corners in the early morning darkness. Church bells soon pealed, cannons fired at dawn. In order not to delay the celebration, Congress has decided to convene 1 hour earlier than usual. As Tileman speaks, the members sit quietly in their seats, savoring each word. This is the same chamber in which the Declaration of Independence was signed, but the original patriots left the Congress years ago. In their place is a new generation of American legislators, among them a Virginian named James Madison. In just a few short months, Alexander Hamilton will also serve in this chamber. A reduction of the British Army under Lord Cornwallis is most happily effected, Washington's letter begins. There is more, another few hundred words of description and platitudes, but the delegates in Congress know all they need to know. Once Tileman finishes reading the letter, they stand as one and cheer. Cries of huzzah fill the air. A proclamation is issued, calling for a national day and night of celebration and thanks. The members then vote to march together to the local Lutheran church and return thanks to Almighty God. But the war is not over. George Washington remains vigilant, even conducting the grim business of hanging 9 American deserters found among the new British prisoners of war. The general spares the lives of 12 other deserters, but orders that they be tied to a post and lashed 100 times across their bare backs. Washington lingers in Yorktown in case British reinforcements sailing from New York City arrive. But while an enemy fleet does appear off the Virginia coast on October 24th, the British soon sail back to New York after learning of Cornwallis's surrender. That same day, October 29th, sees the last of the British prisoners of war turned over to the authority of the Virginia militia for imprisonment. Within 2 weeks of the battle, Washington knows it is time to return north. He sends 2 brigades of his army south to assist General Nathaniel Greene, who is still flushing the British out of South Carolina. The remainder of the army will march north to New York, among them General von Steuben. Admiral de Grasse and the French fleet have long overshot their deadline for returning to the West Indies. Informing Mon Petit Général, as the 6'2" de Grasse refers to Washington, that it is time to leave, the admiral orders his ships south. It is November 4th when the French saviors finally sail away. General Rochambeau, however, remains in Virginia. The climate suits him, and he is in no hurry to return to New York for the winter. So the French stay behind as the Continental Army returns to the Hudson River Valley. Sensing that there is no longer a role for him in the rebel army, the Marquis de Lafayette obtains permission from Congress to sail home for France. The end of this campaign is truly brilliant for the Allied troops, he writes to his wife shortly after the siege, giving perhaps the best description of Yorktown. There was a rare coordination in our movements, and I would be finicky indeed if I were not pleased with the end of my campaign in Virginia. You must have been informed of all the toil the superiority and talents of Lord Cornwallis gave me, and of the advantage that we then gained in recovering lost ground, until at length we had Lord Cornwallis in the position we needed in order to capture him. It was then that everyone pounced on him. On November 5th, George Washington departs Yorktown. His stepson is about to die from malaria, and the general must return to Mount Vernon to be with a grieving Martha. He saddles his horse, Nelson, and rides home. However, he will not stay long, planning to winter in Philadelphia with Martha, enjoying months of congratulatory parties and festive balls as the celebration spreads throughout the colonies. But George Washington is still a battle commander, and he will remain so until he hears from King George.